Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Amy Held. The House Budget Committee meets today to prepare a $3.5 trillion bill, but Democrats still have not come to terms with the social spending agenda, and President Biden says talks have hit a stalemate. It also faces near-total Republican opposition. A separate bipartisan trillion-dollar infrastructure bill has already passed the Senate. The House is expected to take up both measures as soon as Monday. The social spending bill invests heavily in education, including a plan to make community college free. NPR's Alyssa Nadworny has more.
The free college plan included in the Democrats' reconciliation bill would see the federal government giving billions of dollars to states each year in exchange for states eliminating tuition and fees at their community colleges. The five-year plan would cost about $45.5 billion. That's less than half of what President Biden's initial 10-year plan called for. Supporters in Congress say the plan is a workforce training initiative. Community colleges are often where people learn in-demand jobs, like how to be a nurse, a health aide, or an IT specialist. Alyssa Nadworny, NPR News.
Third-dose Pfizer COVID-19 vaccines are getting into the arms of older and otherwise vulnerable Americans at pharmacies, doctors' offices, and vaccination clinics. But amid mixed messaging, the rollout is facing some public confusion about exactly who qualifies. NPR's Windsor Johnston reports CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky is defending her decision to deviate from an advisory panel and recommend the shots for a broader group.
Dr. Walensky says she didn't override the advisory committee, adding that this was a scientific close call. By including an endorsement of the Pfizer booster shot for frontline workers, Walensky's decision puts the CDC's recommendation more closely in line with that of the FDA. Others eligible for the booster shots now include people age 65 and older, and those living in group homes, and younger people with pre-existing conditions.
Two Canadians detained in China for nearly 3 years are now free. Dan Karpinchuk reports from Toronto. In exchange, Ottawa released Huawei executive Meng Wanzhou at the request of the U.S.
Meng's extradition request to the U.S. was dropped after she reached a deal with U.S. authorities. The two Canadians, Michael Kovrig and Michael Spavor, were released by Beijing shortly after. Speaking in Ottawa late Friday night, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said Kovrig and Spavor had just boarded a plane and had left Chinese airspace.
These two men have been through an unbelievably difficult situation, but it is inspiring and it is good news for all of us that they are on their way home to their families.
Trudeau thanked Canadian diplomatic officials and allies who stood in solidarity with Canada. The two Canadians had been arrested in China on charges of spying. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
You're listening to NPR News. Some prominent current and former law enforcement leaders are asking President Biden to grant clemency to thousands of federal prisoners who were released to serve their time at home to slow the spread of COVID-19. NPR's Cheryl Corley reports they say putting those men and women back in prison would pose too great a health risk.
In their letter to President Biden, current and former police officers, prosecutors, and prison officials from across the country say about 4,000 people serving their time at home should not have to return to prison. A Justice Department memo issued during the Trump administration calls for them to be reincarcerated once the pandemic is over. The law enforcement officials note that public safety was a priority in identifying low-risk individuals to be placed on home confinement, and they are now safely serving their sentences. Officials add returning them to prison would overwhelm a strained federal system and exacerbate health dangers to those who are housed and work in overcrowded facilities. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.
The nation's largest utility, PG&E, is facing 31 criminal charges, including manslaughter, after its equipment sparked a California wildfire that killed four people and destroyed hundreds of homes last year. It's just the latest legal action against the company, which pleaded guilty last year after its electrical grid ignited another deadly blaze in 2018, nearly destroying the town of Paradise. Historic drought tied to climate change is worsening destructive wildfires. I'm Amy Held in Washington, and you're listening to NPR News.